Proverbs chapter 11. And let me tell you, the context, perhaps even the motivation as to why I'm speaking on these verses. And that is, I want to stir your souls and minds to liberality. Now, I don't do that just because I think you should be liberal, but earnestly because I'm impelled by this text to speak to you about liberality. Of course, in the immediate context of our life as the church, the ministry of Chang Nguyen is extremely important in terms of our responsibility and our liberality. So let me show you one of my favorite verses. I have never preached from this verse before. It's verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, in context, note that upon Solomon's mind is the idea of liberality. If you look at verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So you see, economics are on Solomon's mind as he pens these proverbs, but not just economics. We might call it the economics of giving. What a terrible thing that the so-called charismatic movement has pirated the doctrine of the blessing of liberality. Of course, their motivation for that and their theological premise of that is that you give to get. And the essence of their gospel being health and wealth, then health is tied to giving. That's why they ask you for faith pledges so that you'll be healed of this or that disease. And recently I spoke to a very large audience and told them that the day that Benny Hinn will get out from behind the television camera and go down to Children's Medical Center and raise one terminally ill child, just one. In fact, he could go to any hospital in the United States or any of his cronies as well. The day one of them goes to one hospital and raises one terminally ill child, then I will accept the legitimacy of their claim. But until they do, I say they are liars all and thieves as well. Lying thieves. But because they have pirated and corrupted the doctrine of giving doesn't mean that they have destroyed it as it is in God's Word. In fact, the principle of giving and even the principle of giving and receiving blessing because of giving is throughout God's Word. Even the tithe, which we don't normally consider giving, is defined by God Himself as an instrument through which He blesses us both spiritually and materially. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me. Now, I've mentioned this to you before, that when God says, bring the tithe and prove me, there's something that verifies the legitimacy of Christianity and the existence of God Himself. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, prove me right now with the tithe herewith, saith Yahweh, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Solomon said that when you honor the Lord with your first fruits and with the fruit of your inheritance, your barn shall be filled with plenty, and your presses shall break forth with new wine. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good meat, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosoms. For with the same measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. And you hear that latter clause in Jesus' teaching. With the same measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. That's very similar to what Solomon is saying here. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Danny, the conservative soul, meaning not politically, but economically, shall be made skinny, thin, impoverished. Now, we have a right and claim to that doctrine in God's holy word because it is there. Now, look at the text, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Let me talk to you regarding that text on two or three different levels. First of all, the level of energy. This word for liberal in the Hebrew is the word for benevolent graciousness, kindness, the bestowal of blessings upon others. So it's the idea of an exercise externally. At a physical level, it teaches us that effort produces results. Now, I don't want to make a case here for capitalism. I don't know how to define it theoretically in terms of economics, but I do know this, that when God created the heavens and the earth, God put a dynamic of productivity in the creation. Seed, whose seed was in itself yielding seed for the flourishing of grass and trees. Fish, whose seed was in them for the flourishing of fish in the sea. Fowl, whose seed was in them for the flourishing of fowl in the air. Even the basic elements of the universe that produce stars have a penchant for proliferate production. So the expenditure of energy that produces is inherent to the creation. And when God told man to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, that principle of productivity was inherent to the command of God. And I believe we're still under that command to be productive human beings. And that requires the expenditure of energy. So the little simple point I'm making for you here, children, is that if you work hard in school, it will produce something. It'll produce something in your mind. It'll produce something in your life. It'll produce something economically for you. Work hard. The same applies to you young men who are beginning to establish your professional lives. There'll be a reciprocity between the amount of energy expended and the yield you receive as a result of that. But more importantly, there's a certain expectation that if you sow, you will reap. The whole universe reinvigorates itself every year by that principle. Spring is a testimony to the perpetual reinvigoration and reproduction of life. And if you work, you may have your winters, you may have your summers, you may have your falls, but you will have your springs, your time of flourishing productivity. That's part of the creation. And to an extent, it is appropriate to capitalism, but any kind of endeavor. Farmers know this very well. Investors know this very well. So it has a practical application to our lives. The liberal soul shall be made fat. But you know that Solomon is speaking of something more than the expenditure of energy for the purpose of productivity. The liberal soul here is not the soul that's free, freely exercised in professional endeavor. But the liberal soul here is the benevolent soul. Bene, good, voluntas, will, the good-willed soul. And this good-willed soul is a soul who is liberal towards others. Now, of course, we can spiritualize this and say we should be liberal in kindness, and we should. And we should be liberal in love, and we should. And we should be liberal in gentleness. We should be liberal in all the graces. But there's a pragmatic element to Solomon's teaching here regarding our finances. And you know what? In the context of my discussion today, yes, I do have a purpose. We are talking about changed ministry this afternoon. Now, I'm preparing you to talk to me about that. And I'm not calling you so much to an individual accountability now in this moment as you're giving, though you ought to write this upon the fleshly tables of your heart. But I'm calling you more to a collective ecclesiastical responsibility towards being liberal. It seems to me that God has given us something in Cambodia. And how could we buy it? How much would it cost? How much would Chang cost? How much would one child in Cambodia cost? How much would a church in Cambodia cost? If you had the opportunity 10 years ago to buy it, would you have? You say, oh yes, especially that cheaply. Let me buy Chang. Let me buy a child. Let me buy a church. When God gives us something, when God gives us something to do, He gives us the means. This is never why I have never felt like I had to beg for Jesus. And it's why I don't like ministries. Even apparently non-health and wealth ministries who are always asking for money at the end of every show. I don't want to ask for money ever in our public ministries. I'm going to say that again, and I want you to say amen. Ready? I don't ever want to ask for money in our public ministries, not in our tape ministry or radio ministry or anything like that. Missions, I don't mind sharing with other people if they want to help. It's not a need that we're asking for that we can't supply, but it's a need that we have in Cambodia in which others might want to participate. I don't mind asking people if they want to help in that way. But the point is, the responsibility is going to settle right down upon you and me in this church. And that's what we have to determine regarding what we shall do. And the principle holds for the body as surely as it holds for the individual. The liberal soul shall be made fat. My dad lived by evangelism for many, many years. And he's literally had preachers and churches steal from him. When my dad would accept the call to come preach somewhere, he always took his revivals first come, first serve. It didn't matter how big the church, how small the church. But he's told me many times that more often than not, big churches are stingy, rich churches are stingy, and little churches, poor churches, are liberal. And I think I have taught you, as a little church, to be liberal. Historically, you've been liberal in the way you've helped people who've needed benevolence and the way you've gifted pastors who have come here to preach to us. And I want to remind you of that history and encourage you to that in your futures. My dad's words, quote, "You can't outgive God," unquote. You cannot outgive the Lord. And the same thing that applies to the individual working in his vineyard, the productive soul, expending energy, expecting productivity, I believe it applies to the church of God, the liberal church, the church of free benevolence, the church of gracious giving, shall be made fat. Now, Chris Pate, I'm not thinking that, well, if I can get the people to give to Cambodia, we'll double in 6 months. That's not what I'm thinking. Or that our treasury will grow. The fatness is in the grace. The fatness is in the grace. When you put your money in the box, do you have little strings on it? By the way, you know, this has never crossed my mind. I don't think in 20 years of this church till right now, so I'll share it with you. If when you put your money in the box out there, you're thinking forward to the next business meeting about how we're going to spend it, just take it out, please. Please. Just take it out. We don't want it. I don't want it, and I don't want the church to have it. So if that's your mentality, I don't care if you're tithing by duty or think you're giving by grace. If that's your mentality, got little strings of expectation and your self-determination about how we should spend it, I just want to tell you right now, stop. We don't want it. Then please keep your mouth shut in business meetings. We don't need monies with strings attached. The fatness is in the grace. When you walk away from the, what do we call that thing, Dr. Cook? We have a little box. Is that little box still hanging in the hall in there? It is. Brad, go get that little box that's hanging in the hall. But you know what? It's a holy treasury. When you walk away from it, you ought to already have the blessing. When you put it in there, you ought to walk away like this. Fat with grace. Because the grace is in the opportunity to tithe to the Lord. The grace is in the opportunity to give to the Lord. That is the soul's fatness in the giving thereof. And so if we give to Cambodia or wherever, give to Tate Ministry. Think about this. We never asked one red cent for any Tate we ever sent. And now, is there a connection to the fact that we're having 22, 25, sometimes 2,800 downloads per month on sermon audio? I don't know. I don't know. In the mystery of godliness, He works things as He will. But I know that the fatness is in the grace. Whether you get physical return or not. Now, having said that, let me hasten to say that is there potentially a reaping in pragmatic ways for the church who sows? And the answer to that is yes, there is potentially a reaping in pragmatic ways. And I would point to Cambodia again as an evidence of that. We're trying to sow the seed of the gospel. If we were at a mall, if we were at a seed mall, a farmer's market selling seed, we would probably have a humble booth. There would be the dispensational seed booth. There would be a lot of people there buying that seed. The Arminian seed booth and the health and wealth seed booth. And we're standing there with the seed of the gospel of sovereign grace, and we might not be selling much seed. But the fact is that the seed of God's Word, the seed of truth, does grow. Sometimes it yields 30, sometimes it yields 60, sometimes it yields 100-fold. And often, the Lord is a hard man reaping where we haven't sown. And to me, that's what Cambodia is. And I hope you will not miss that blessing and vision, that while we stand here in a culture who doesn't want to hear our gospel, nonetheless, God has used our church to raise up a wonderful pastor, a second pastor, and a couple of churches in Cambodia, and that is worth the life and existence and history of this church. What a blessing that is. Before we got our fancy box out there in 1997, this was our box. And you know, in some ways, it's the most sacred physical thing in the whole church. Look how humble it is. Upon your uncomely members, you bestow more abundant honor. All financial history of the church from its origin to 1996 is right in here. And now, all the tape requests. That's a sacred thing. So, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now look back at the text. Verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Now Rachel, this is what we refer to as irony in literature. Irony seems a contradiction, but it is nonetheless true. Here's what the seeming contradiction is. I've got a handful of seed or a handful of something, and if I want it to increase, what do I do? No. Scatter it. Now that does apply to your energies. That does apply to your efforts. That applies to your investments. That applies to the gospel. Sowing seed, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And it also applies to your tithes and offerings to the Lord, particularly as they have a benevolent purpose to others. You scatter, and look at the irony, and yet it increases. Again, let me remind you to think about this as a church. We have a storehouse. We have an opportunity to do some planting. Don't be afraid to scatter the seed. That's the way God does it. And then note the second half of that verse. There is that withholdeth more than is appropriate, but it tends to poverty. Now, it doesn't say don't withhold. It doesn't say don't save. This applies to you, me, and it applies to our church. It doesn't say don't save. It says there's that withholdeth more than is appropriate, that withholds more than is necessary. Meaning, this person, this institution had the opportunity to be liberal. God wasn't asking them not to withhold something. They had the opportunity to be liberal and chose not to be liberal. Now, what was the effect of that? Well, the effect of it is that fiscal conservatism led to thinness, led to impoverishment. And, of course, we want to see this primarily as a grace. The stingy-hearted won't be the fat soul. It's the liberal-hearted that will be the fat soul. That's a grace. But could it have pragmatic effect, impact in the church? Sure. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is appropriate, but it tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And if you take the word liberal in the Hebrew and connect it with the word watered, the word for watered is like the word liberal in Hebrew. Liberal means to be very benevolent, graciously benevolent, fully benevolent. Watered echoes that with the idea of satiation. Now think about watering a garden. You need to water it well. This summer, we saw how the absence of water adversely affects a garden. But a well-watered garden yields more fruit. And Solomon is speaking of you as the host. The liberal soul is the soul that satiates others. You don't just sprinkle them. You don't just baptize them. You satiate them. And again, apply it to graces in your life. And this is something I pray for myself, that I will be more kind. I especially pray that I will have more of the grace of kindness. I'd like to be able to be a conduit to saturate others with more kindness, or with more gentleness, or with more goodness. But there is a material element to what Solomon is teaching here. Satiate others. And there's a reciprocal effect. He who waters shall be watered himself. Now, would I be scared to ascend this pulpit and say to the First Baptist Church of Parker, this: if you'll bless others, God will bless you? I'm not afraid to say that at all. I'm not afraid to say it because Solomon has said it. God has said it through Malachi. Jesus has said it. If you'll satiate others, in graces, yes, but even in things physical, if you water, you too will be watered. Then verse 26, he who withholds corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him who sells it. Well, I don't want you to lose the message. So just remember, the liberal soul will be made fat. You can apply that all kinds of ways in your life, spiritually, materially, and you can apply it to our church. And that's what I want you to think about, particularly as we contemplate God's will for us in the Discipleship Training Center in Cambodia. I mean, really, if you knew 5 years ago you would have bought it for X, you'd have said, wow, that's a deal. Yeah, let's stand together.